We have been on air for the past hour, and very happy indeed to have as our first guest the great Carmel Quinn. But now we have added and switched stations, we want to welcome you to WBNJ, 1160 AM, and obviously to link stations on irishradio.com. Okay, John Deary, co-host, sir. I've been working myself, you know, for the last hour. Right?
Yes, you have, Adrian.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
And it was very nice of you to
but
show up.
But this is a very special day. You should feel great about it.
Yeah, and next year, remind me to let you know that you put the hour back, obviously. Actually, you were supposed to put it forward. But anyway, you're here, and that's the main thing. The very, very special guest of the day, the man who becomes Mr. New York St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Has just walked through the door. Me, I'm exhausted.
Take it from here. Well deserved. What a great joy that the committee decided on a person that has contributed so much with so much Irish dimension and flavor in Al Smith. And Grand Marshal, welcome. And
thank you.
Congratulations.
Happy to be here.
You're ready for a big day today and a lot of marching.
I am. It's actually been nice to have something in common with my great-grandfather other than having a big nose.
Well, there's quite a remarkable story when you think about it. Of course, everyone is so familiar with Al Smith and his run for the presidency, and may have been the first Catholic or would have been and president. But tell us the quite remarkable, which you shared with us earlier, remarkable story about the hat you're going to be wearing today up Fifth Avenue.
The hat that Al Smith wore 88 years ago as Grand Marshal, it's in fact been in our family for this 88 years, and it was worn once, and today I'm going to put it on and wear it again. So I'm honored to walk in his footsteps with his own hat.
What year was that that your great-grandfather was?
1925.
25?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be following in his footsteps? Since you've done so many things that he had done, Catholic charities and so many different events and organizations. Do you ever think you'd be marching up Fifth Avenue in his footsteps?
You know, I never really did. My son, many, many years ago, saw a picture of his great-grandfather, great-great-grandfather is, at the Grand Marshal of the parade. And he said to me, Dad, when are you going to be Grand Marshal? I said, probably when a Pope resigns. So the Pope resigned, and there I am.
That's a great one.
and how true. The hat story is hard to get past because that you're thinking, and that that has got to be almost as amazing as the Pope residing, to have that in the family.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing that it's hung around the family.
Yeah.
In a condition, you're talking almost nine decades.
That's I had it a little refurbished, and someone actually said to me that they weren't going to be able to make it tomorrow. Yeah. I said, we'll come back in 88 years. We do it every 88 years in the family. So I'll kill that little hat as well.
Well, you know what? We're catching a little flavor of Val, and for those that have never seen Al as the host of the Al Smith dinner, the most important, really, political and social dinner and charity dinner of the year.
Right.
But Al is the host, and I think our listeners are getting a little flavor of why Al is the undisputed host. And it's called an incredible Irish sense of humor. You have it better than Al.
Definitely. How did the Al Smith dinner, which is now, you know, you want to talk about a guest list or a must be included or a dais, how did that get started?
That was started by Cardinal Spellman shortly after the governor died to build a building in his honor down at St. Vincent's Hospital.
My God.
So,
and another legacy,
Cardinal
of course,
Spellman
he would,
was a very, very powerful man in his day. And actually, the first speaker, although he was not there, and a lot of people don't know this, was Winston Churchill.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Oh, he was the first
on
speaker.
On the phone, right? Yes.
No kidding.
So he was the first speaker, yeah.
Wow.
That's a pretty good headline.
So it started there, I guess, the 1968. Humphrey and Nixon were the candidates, and they were both coming. And then a week before the dinner, Lyndon Johnson called up. He said, "They're candidates. I'm the president. I want to go." So all three of them showed up that night.
Well, of course, I think it's not unfair to suggest that hard to top as a speakers, it was really the Kennedy-Nixon in 59.
That really put us on a map.
That was really, I mean, I've listened many times to that evening, and the lines out of really, especially out of Kennedy, I'd have to say, were devastating, really.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was, and I guess maybe it's a little something to come, because Kennedy did so well in the age of television.
Right, and how... Well, why is it, and this is a rhetorical question, but I'd ask it anyway, is that when we hear about the history of New York and we hear, about the great empire states, that a defining moment was that when your great-great-grandfather or your great-grandfather took... over as governor, not just once, but actually on, then had a little hiatus and then continued on again. Was that ironic because of Catholicism, or he was a Catholic? What was? How did he get, to the governorship to begin with, and how much role did Catholicism play in that?
Well, he got to the governorship, I think. He was the lead investigator with Bob Wagner Sr. to investigate what went wrong at the Triangle Shirt Factory. Why were the conditions so bad? And he was appalled at the way the workplace was managed. And this energized him to get him into politics to make a difference. And he surely did. The workplace would never be the same after that. So all the stuff that he did in investigating and find out and making changes propelled him up through the system, and he became governor in 1918. And a man of the people.
Yeah.
To just bring forward for a bit, Al, since you're the man of the hour and the day today, why don't you tell our listeners a bit about what you're up to now and maybe some of the more recent things you've been involved with?
I've started my own firm, Alfred E. Smith & Associates, which is a business development and consulting firm, and kind of works towards getting people in front of other people. I've built up quite a Rolodex over the last 25 years with the Alfred Dinner.
On Wall Street.
I retired from Wall Street.
I know, but through those years.
And actually, I went down and rang the bell there the other night. Yeah. And I'd worked down there for 35 years, and I got there and I said, I left here. 14,000. And everybody's complaining.
That's a great line. And by the way, I think it'd be a mention since this is radio, but Al Smith's had a partner, and one of the most beautiful women, I would say, is his wife, Nan.
Yeah.
And so delighted that Nan is here this morning. And by the way, Nan, since Al is...
It's not only Sheridan anymore. Oh, boy, did you dig a hole for yourself.
Oh, my God. Let me ask you, do you plan on marching, or what's your... What is the proper role of the wife of the Grand Marshal today?
The protocol.
As always, for 38 years, I will be following behind Alfred. As we all do. Yes. But
that goes back to 1918, by the way.
Exactly. Yes. But there is a wonderful group called Friends and Family who are going to march in the parade, and I will be there with my two adult children and some of our wonderful friends and family. As you might imagine, we've heard from second cousins once removed.
Oh, God, yes.
Everybody is willing to join us. But
wait until you see the crowd you have by the end of the day.
Yes, exactly. But we're very, very proud of Alfred, and we're just really looking forward to having fun the rest of the day. And thank you for having us here.
It's really part of the excitement. And we are delighted indeed. What we will do, John, considering that... We can sit around here for the next 5 or 6 hours, but our guest has
got to put on his marching shoes.
He's got bigger fish to fry.
I just want to say to Nan, our formula's worked. I'll tell the jokes, and you just be pretty. Because I'm not. Nan said to me, this is unnatural for you, Al. You've got a face for radio. I can't be pretty.
Have you kept count of, and did anybody pre-warn you when you accepted the role you played today as Grand Marshal of the 252nd St. Patrick's Day Parade, that actually you would not have a single day to yourself going back to January? Do you know
that? Actually, going back to last September, there was a press conference.
Oh.
There were 350 people there.
Mm-hmm.
I got there at 4 o'clock. I spoke. I got up to speak at 6 o'clock after all the introductions.
Mm.
I said, nobody told me that the press conference would be longer than the parade.
I remember that.
There were two bars and no press. Irish press conference.
Yeah. This is not tales out of school, but tell us what it is like when you go to all of these functions, you go to all of these dinners, and you have at least, in good old-fashioned Irish style, about 10, 12, sometimes 15 people who are there for the sole purpose of introducing you, totally oblivious to the fact that actually people do have to go to, you know, their respective rooms, men's or ladies' rooms,
yeah.
That they actually do have homes to go to. And when everybody just about can't take it anymore, and they say, and the man of the hour, the man of the day, the man of the year.
Well, I think you're being Irish, you know, you're getting the gift of gab.
Yeah. But Al has just a remarkable, and I don't overstate it when I say a remarkable sense of humor and an ability to get the right quip off at the precisely the right time that often has a way of delivering a message in addition to being very funny.
We both appreciate your being here. We both want to wish you, of course, this on your very, very special day. Very special day, not just for you, for the St. Patrick's Day Parade, New York, and for all Irish Americans and indeed Irish throughout the world, many of whom will be competing with us now. I mean, they're on so many live television stations around the world.
Yes.
Yeah. And we resent that, but we're not going to mention it. We'll talk about that after he leaves.
Have a great day, Al.
Grand
Marshal. Enjoy it.
Alfred Smith, the fourth, friends. You're listening to Irish Radio Network, USA. Friends, we are broadcasting worldwide on www.irishradio.com, and it's 10:15 here in New York City local time. So wherever you're listening to us, and particularly for those who are tuned in Ireland, my co-host John Deary and myself, this is our 43rd St. Patrick's Day show, and John, you've changed quite a bit. Actually, I mean,
please, a way to start off this St. Patrick.
I was going to see. Now you jumped the gun. I was going to say that, like Carmel Quinn, if anything, you have improved through the years. Really, I mean,
well, you're
that,
very kind.
Because I have some old photographs of you from the old days when you were stumping around Albany. John, for the benefit of those who don't know, friends, was a New York legislator in for a 20-year period, and he was hanging out with fellow assemblymen like George Pataki.
Yes, that's very true. The governor eventually became governor, and my dear friend Congressman Joe Crowley, and a good friend of mine during those years, Peter Quinn, Peter King, and many. But Adrian, enough of that stuff. Let's get to the issues of the day, which is some nice, good St. Patrick's music. And do you have anybody so we can get started with that?
I want to tell you that we are just to start off our day. We're delighted to welcome David O'Leary. And David, among your CDs is one, Going Home.
Yeah.
Which is great because you're not going to sing anything from this. So this CD. So there's no way that anybody can cop this song from you.
No,
than to listen live. You're very, very welcome.
Thank you very much.
And you're going from post to pillar. You're constantly on the road.
Constantly going. Yeah, I'm lucky. I'm down in D.C. next week. You know, I've been over and back to Ireland a lot.
Yeah.
There's been plenty going on, so I'm very, very, very lucky, very busy at the moment. Thank God.
That's great. Okay, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing She Moved Through the Fair.
Terrific. All right. By the way,
accompanied by Mr.
Well,
Sheridan here.
Yeah.
For the last many years, joining us.
You
on
know,
St.
JJ. Yeah, JJ Sheridan. The only thing that he would like is to put in a disclaimer at the beginning of the program. Now he's mentioned this a few times.
Okay.
He is not related to Anya Sheridan.
Okay. Well.
And you know, but he did. He wanted to get that in there for some reason. You know.
All right.
Well, let me just say,
I want to see if I can land him.
That's not a good move, though. I think it's good to be associated with management.
I want to see if I can land both of you in the stuff.
Get us in trouble. All right, let's hear from Dave O'Leary.
My young love said to me, my mother won't mind. And my father won't slight you for your lack of kind. She stepped away from me, and this she did say, it will not be long, love, till our wedding day. Stepped away from me, and she moved through the fair, and fondly I watched her move here and move there. She made her way homeward with one star away. As the swan in the evening moved over the lake, I dreamt it last night that my young love came in. So softly she entered that her feet made no din. She made hers beside me, and this she did say, it will not be long,
lovely stuff.
Well, let me, do you think we have time for an abbreviated Danny Boy, or should we?
You can do that if you want.
He has to get, there are a couple of songs that John has to kind of get out of his system, and we try to do it early in the day, and you're supposed to ask him immediately after this if he'd like to sing one verse of Galway Bay. You know,
okay,
like even,
that's no problem.
Even the half of the last verse of Galway Bay, and you can make sure you know, that he doesn't run over.
Okay, great. Right,
let's get to Dave O'Leary and Danny Boy. How does that sound? Oh, this is real. This is good.
Yeah.
This is good. You're off to a good start, Adrian.
Thank you, Danny Boy.
Thank
you.
For Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and down the mountainside. The summer's gone and all the roses falling. Tis you must go and I must bide. But come you back when summer's on the meadow, or when the valley's hushed and white with snow.
I'm declining right at the moment after I heard Dave sing.
Yeah.
I think I want to give it a little time. And Dave wants me to sing, but
we'd like to show that this is a balanced program.
Meaning
here
what?
You had David O'Leary. Now, John Deary. I mean, this is...
Go on, John. Go on.
And if there's going to be a life hereafter, all right?
There's going to be a life hereafter. You can join me, Dave, if you wish. And somehow I am sure there's going to be... Getting better with age, by the way.
I know.
I will ask my God to let me make my heaven. This is the best one I've done in years, by the way. In this dear land across the Irish Sea.
Thank you very much.
Dave mentioned that he's going to be singing tonight.
Right,
let me just pose a question. Let me just leave it this. I am available.
Give me a buzz.
The beauty of it is that he didn't throw you off because normally, you know, like...
Adrian, all kidding aside,
he's
Adrian.
A pro. Come
what
on,
do you think, Adrian?
Yeah.
Is that one of the better performances?
That is,
let's be honest.
Singularly.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I would say, John, from now on, unless David O'Leary is around, I will put it on the back burner. Your CD information on our first guest singer of the day is www.davidoleary.com.
Yeah, the CD's called Going Home. It's available on iTunes and Amazon for download.
Terrific. Okay, well, good luck to you.
Thanks,
and good luck in Washington and to wherever you go. You're moving up the line as the week goes on.
Please don't. Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for
nice
very
to see you, Dave. All the best to you. Adrian, incidentally, let me ask you. You've heard from Dave. You've heard from me. Is there any chance in the course of the day you'll do your signature song, which we all know is The Unicorn?
Absolutely.
There any chance for
no.
you to... Why not?
Because
I think J.J. Sheridan wouldn't
hold on
object
a second.
To giving
excuse
up
me.
The
excuse me. Like the wedding of Cana, the best wine is kept to the last.
Yeah. So what is that... what does that mean? You're going to do it later in the...
Yeah, I'm going to do it. You know, I'm going to kind of... We're here until 3.
Yes.
And I
you
want
mean somewhere
to,
about 10 to 3, you'll belt out the unicorn.
What I would like to do, really, now that you have performed, is to take your slot, you know?
Yeah.
That was the, like, 1.5 minutes to 3. Can I grab that spot now
all
that
right.
you have given up? Because you have.
The show's highlight is going out on you on the unicorn. Is that the deal? Oh,
that's
wow.
Right.
Oh, boy.
That's what it is.
Something to
like
look forward to.
And like yourself, I have no problem in singing half the last verse, because I think that's the secret that we, that's the kind of formula we share.
I don't overdo it with the listeners.
You just don't. You can say that again.
I think that's great. That's great. I think this way we'll get a direct shot at the camera for...
Yeah, all right, very good. Now, friends, we do want to let you know that among our guests, some of them coming up actually rather shortly, for the 12th year in a row, and considering that this is, we're talking about a three-term mayor, Mike Bloomberg, he has been with us every
That's
single
very true.
Solitary,
that is true.
Solitary time.
And you know, I was going to mention to the mayor also, as a matter of fact, that I can recall very vividly the first year, which would have been in March of 2002, that the mayor was here, and he has been very, very loyal in terms of being here on the show.
Listen,
what a legacy he leaves, though. Wow.
I know.
Oh,
but he's not
God.
Going anywhere.
Well,
yes,
I hope
that's
not.
For sure.
We
and we will have the speaker, city councilor, Christine Quinn. We will have Taoiseach, Prime Minister of Ireland, Enda Kenny. And that's only in the first hour.
Okay.
After that, we can go home. Well, actually, not really. I want to welcome somebody, actually, who has, you want to talk about part of the fabric of the music entertainment business. He's from Cork, we can't hold again. Hello, Johnny, how are you? We want to welcome to the studio, indeed, Johnny Carroll. And Johnny has, he's probably one of the last musicians who works 7 days a week in the business, and if there was an 8th day, you'd be doing that as well. You're very welcome.
I would indeed. Thanks very much, Adrian.
Yeah.
And not having 8 days in the week, of course, I do 2 gigs one bit someday, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's... that's great. Tell me, there's a very special event coming up this afternoon, actually. It's year 2 of Sober St. Patrick's Day,
okay.
John.
Yes.
And Donny is one of the great performers there. Yeah, something
that.
Terrific. What are you going to do for... By the way, this is the newest,
this
your newest
album.
Okay, it must be a new month. You're knocking them out. Like crazy, and this is it's Donny Carroll,
Divil of a Noise, Mick McGilligan's boy.
Oh yes,
all the girls in the boys,
very
Divil of a Noise.
Yeah, actually I think Carmel Quinn sang that
she
in the first hour of our program today again.
Correct.
Okay, terrific. All right, so now this has all right, sing something first, and
okay.
then we
I'm going to sing a Mayo song.
Oh.
One of my favorite comfies.
Good. See?
Well, it's just a year ago today I left all there in style. My heart was throbbing in the short legs of my Colleen's smile. In all my dreams I seem to hear a sweet voice of them go. I know she's waiting where we said goodbye to old Mayo. For two Irish eyes are shining and an Irish heart is pining, where I kissed her and caressed her in the gloaming long ago. Loving Irish arms oppress me, and to Irish love caress me, and sweet Irish lips will bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo. Her Irish eyes like beacon shine all through the darkest night. I know the sweet love beam will always fill this world with light. The roses on her cheek will lend enchantment to the scene. And when the dewdrops, where did you, I'll wed my sweet Colleen. For two Irish eyes are shining and an Irish heart is pining, where I kissed her and caressed her in the gloaming long ago. Loving Irish arms will press me, and to Irish love caress me, and sweet Irish lips will bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo. And sweet Irish lips will bless me when it's moonlight in Mayo.
Wow.
Great.
Isn't that something?
Oh, wow, Howie, that was delightful.
You know?
That's what I would, if I could snap my fingers, love to be able to do.
I know.
Sing like you and play that instrument.
I suppose we all have to be nice to each other. St. Patrick's Day. You know, I am sure that the handlers of the Taoiseach and Kenny will... I know he's buzzing around all morning. We met him at Gracie Mansion this morning, and then he went on to Mass. And from what I understand, he is over at the Governor's breakfast.
Okay.
And then he'll be joining us here. But what I say, somebody will say to him, Tisha, Mover, your song,
yes,
Moonlight in Mayo,
okay,
has no... been done. I mean...
Over and done?
Yeah.
That's, oh, my God, it's not us.
Do you see that?
You told me that for a bit.
Oh, my God. Yeah, well, I mean, it'll be... Yeah.
Well, maybe you can do it as Quelga.
Listen, Johnny has to keep playing this. What else? Let's keep that music going. It's
okay,
so beautiful.
Let me, first of all, though, we have to acknowledge and thank our sponsors
for
today. Tourism Ireland, by the way, The Gathering. Great, great year for Ireland, the gathering taking place in Ireland. We'll hear all about that. This is a call for the Irish diaspora, and if numbers and bookings right now are anything to go by, let me tell you, this is going to be a banner year. But we will have plenty on that, and again... The chief of Tourism Ireland is over, and our own Joe Byrne. We also like, obviously, to recognise and to thank Quinnipiac University, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, first ever museum in Ireland, in Connecticut. If only Sheridan and Olive Byrne would... decide to have their chat somewhere other than here, maybe I can get through this. Do you have any influence?
Well, you're doing a very good job. Speak to management.
Okay. Ireland's Great Hunger Museum, Hamden, Connecticut, just opened in October. It is singularly the most impressive place. The only, believe it or not, the only museum in the United States has the largest collection of Irish artifacts, art from all over the from Ireland, but outside of Ireland, the largest in the world. And the website there, www.ighm.org, as in Irish Great Hunger Museum, .org. And friends, for the 12th year in a row, I am delighted, and John, let us welcome somebody who never passed us up for the whole 12 years, Mayor of the City of New York, and Mayor Mike Bloomberg. You are indeed very, very welcome.
Adrian, John, thank you for having me, but I have a question. This is going to keep me from getting invited again. You've got a poster up outside.
Yeah.
The poster is the two of you.
Yeah.
The pictures are 20 years old. You don't look like that anymore. What are you guys thinking?
Oh, I can tell you're definitely not. You're losing it. If you were running again, would you come in here and say that?
Of course not. That's why I got elected.
It's funny you should say that, Mayor. I'm looking at you and I've been watching you on TV. And let me ask you this. From when you came here, which would have been March, I was just commenting, March of 2002, to today, you look great. And have you lost weight?
Yeah, I'm always trying to lose weight. Sometimes
I'm
more successful than others. But you guys don't look, all kidding aside, you don't look different than 12 years ago. none of us do.
And the picture is 25, so it's not bad. Yeah.
Let me say this was a very
flattering
picture.
Don't make it worse. Don't make it any worse. We'll settle for the 20, the mayor's
okay. Now, have you discussed the picture, the full two-page article in today's post on our buddy, Mr. Neary?
No.
Oh,
God.
Got to go see it. It says spectacular. Great picture of him. Better picture of Una.
Really?
And some of the waitresses. It is.
How are we going to live with them? That's really good.
I don't know, but
this.
I will. I've got to go to somebody's 80th birthday party tonight, and afterwards, I might just be tempted to stop by.
Well, you know, there is a secret to that, as we are well aware, and that is, of course, that Jimmy Neary. It is such a miracle. It's the annual miracle of the year because, he goes from newspaper to newspaper and he springs for one lunch, one meal for a paper once a year. And then all of a sudden,
he's a star.
Yeah.
We've got to take a lesson from him. John, how are you?
I'm very well, Mayor. You know, I don't want to miss the chance. I know your schedule's always tight. And I said this last year. I meant it, and I say it again. When that clock comes around and you walk out of this position, the legacy that you will leave is so remarkable. And I'm just, I hate to see, and I think
well,
I speak.
Nice to
I,
say.
No, I mean that seriously, really. I mean that, and I'll tell you, New Yorkers, with no disrespect to any other candidate, New Yorkers are going to feel the change in the kind of leadership that you provided. It's just unbelievable.
Change isn't necessarily bad. I'm going to live in the city for the rest of my life. My kids will, I think. And what I hope is that whoever the next mayor is and the next administration, they're better than we were, that they took what we did and built on it. And we've been very successful, I think, for the last 12 years. Not everything's worked. We've done a lot of things that will have real legs and carry on. But it wasn't me. It is, you think about it, there's 280,000 people that work for New York City. Mm-hmm. I'm just lucky to be working with them. At the top, my job was to bring in different people, get them to work together, but let them go and do it. And if there's any secret to an administration or to a company, I would argue, is to, for the head people, to give authority to go along with responsibility downstream so that people can really do something without checking. And sometimes they embarrass you, but most times they will do things that you wouldn't have thought about. And if you don't give them the authority to go along, then you can't recruit them.
Mm-hmm.
And just too many people are afraid to share the credit.
Mm-hmm.
And the best ideas we have had have not come from me. I always joke that I'm always annoyed. I didn't think of this. I didn't think of that. Mm-hmm. And when somebody mentioned it,
I should have right away.
There is, though, there is a huge challenge for whoever takes over. Because times have been rough. I mean, you came in, it was...
But they're always going to be rough. I mean, there's always great challenges. No mayor, no governor, no president doesn't come in and always say, oh, I didn't know it was this bad. Of course you knew it was this bad, and it's always going to be bad, and it's never as bad as you think. My mother used to say the good old days were never the good old days.
Isn't it true?
Yeah, it is true, and, you know... We have going for us in this city, the statistics, the Census Bureau put out numbers the other day. For the first time since 1950, 63 years ago, there are more people moving into New York than move out.
Wow.
People have all, for the 60 years, 63 years, it's been fewer people moving in than moving out. Population's still grown because their births here, but just the immigrants coming here, and that says that people, when they vote with their feet, think the future of New York is here. And I'm going to be long gone. They're talking about the future, and that's great.
What do you think if there was a pie of your time as you leave office? How do you think you're going to break that pie up? And I don't want to miss this chance to throw this in. Right. If there's any one person, I was going to say in the world, but certainly in this country, that can address your prime issue of the assault guns, you're the only person that can do it. And if we do get change, no one is going to tell me it's anyone other than Bloomberg.
It'll be everybody.
You're going to carry that issue on?
Yes. Cuomo has passed some 2 gun laws now. He's getting beaten up for it, but that's a step in the right direction. There's no one solution to everything. Schumer, in all fairness, is working as hard as anybody ever has on the issue. I was with him yesterday. I think he might have gone upstate. Maybe he's going to march in this parade. He was trying to decide whether upstate or here. But he has worked on it. Joe Biden is the president's go-to guy, and our staff meets with Joe every Friday in Washington. I went down to see him a few weeks ago. There are lots of different people. Gabby Giffords, who was the congresswoman shot. She wasn't exactly very good on guns before, but then tragically she learned, and now she and her husband, who's a former astronaut, are working.
Yeah, but let's also, though, acknowledge that you're getting the mayors of places and of cities and of even on the map.
There's 900 of them. There's one mayor who he's since had filled out his terms, but John Payton, I think, was his name. Really nice guy, very smart. He was the mayor of a city in Florida, Jacksonville, I think it was. And he joined, and I said to him, I called him, and I said, look, we're happy to have you, but that's a pretty conservative part of the country. That's not going to be popular. You're going to get beaten up. He said, no. He said, our murder rate's so big, so high. If I don't do something about it, I'm going to get beaten up. And he got reelected. You know, not everybody liked it, but that's okay. Guns, the big problems facing us is guns. Next year, 12,000 people will get killed with handguns, and 19,000 people will commit suicide with handguns. And in New York City, where it's hard to get a gun, the suicide rate is half the national average. And it's because, if you look, the suicide rate with guns is a tenth the national average.
Wow.
Suicide rate with knives and poison and hanging, it's virtually the same. But it's guns. If you can make it tougher to get guns, and there are 14 states in America that have closed this gun show loophole where you really have to have a background test for all things, and it just makes it harder to get a gun. All 14 of those have suicide rates half the national average, and they're the only ones that do in New York City.
When,
so you can do something about this.
If we go back to that 12 years and every day since, we had to choose somebody, and from the candidates at the time, and it was the aftermath of 9/11, we had to choose somebody. A great percentage of not only the Irish immigrants and immigrant advocates, but had to choose somebody who was going to buck the tide. Go back to when the first day you were in City Hall, immigration was such a dirty word. Democrats, Republicans, nobody wanted to touch that one, period.
Right. I mean, what people don't understand is that the future of this country is immigration.
I was asked on television one time about a year ago, what do you do for these big industrial cities like Detroit that had hollowed out? And I don't know why Detroit was on my mind. Somebody might have mentioned automobiles or something. And I said, the only thing I can think of, the only solution that I have, is America should use the one thing that it has that nobody else has, but it can afford to give away, and that's citizenship, to attract people. So what we should do is say from people around the world, here's the deal. We'll give you papers. You can live here with your family for 7 years, but we're going to assign you to a city, let's say Detroit.
Yeah.
How you live, how you survive is your problem. Government's not smart enough to tell you what to do, but you've got to agree. You're not going to get arrested for anything. If you do, we'll deport you, and you've got to agree not to take any money, federal, state, or city, so people that can say you're coming here for the welfare, that's just not true.
Yeah.
It's not a great country to come for welfare. It's really tough compared to a place else. But regardless, these people would buy those empty houses and fix them up. They would send their kids to public schools, and they would demand the schools get better. They would create jobs. They would take jobs that Americans won't do. They'd drive to California in the morning, work 3 jobs, and drive back at night. And then after 7 years, if they succeeded and stayed in Detroit or whatever city they were assigned to, you give them citizenship. That's something that America can afford to do, and it is a solution to their problems. The mayor of Detroit talked to him, and he said, or maybe I saw him on television, I talked to him after that. He said, oh, Bloomberg doesn't understand. There aren't any jobs here. And he's right, and there won't be unless you do something. It is the immigrants that are different.
Mm-hmm.
You and I aren't any different. Our parents or grandparents really were different. They came here, and they didn't want something for themselves. They wanted something for their kids, and they never dreamed that they would go to college, never dreamed they'd have a house with a lawn or take a vacation or get on an airplane. It didn't exist then, have a car, didn't exist. They wanted something for the next generation. Today, who are here, we want something for ourselves rather than make the investment for our kids. Immigrants have a different view, and that's why we need them.
Absolutely. And indeed, this morning in Gracie Mansion, you had mentioned, as you've alluded to here, that immigrants who came to this country, not just from Ireland, before they set foot, or as soon as they set foot here, thought of their kids, thought of again, there was selfless entry into the United States.
My youngest daughter's a horseback rider, had to have back surgery. She'd broken her back a few times. And so she, I had her down at Johns Hopkins, where I have a lot of affiliations.
Mm-hmm.
And I had the doctor there pick a doctor out at here at Special Surgery, because she and her mother wanted to be here for the operation. They picked this guy, so the guy did the operation. I met the guy. He is, and it tells you everything about why America's great. He is one of the top surgeons at Special Surgery, comes from Ghana, and in his spare time is building a hospital for surgery in Ghana where they didn't have any.
Nice.
And, you know, he remembers where he came from, but he's happy to be here.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, we do something nobody else does. We hyphenate our nationality. You say you're Irish American, it's because you're proud of where you came from and you're proud of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's different when in the great waves of immigration to the Lower East Side, people got rid of their religion, their clothing, their food, their language, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Today they try to keep it,
mm-hmm.
but they accept the new, and that's very helping.
I know you're going to make more than one trip up Fifth Avenue today. Last is mayor. What are your thoughts?
Parades are wonderful ways to express sorrow, for example, during a Veterans Day parade, and appreciation, celebration for the kids. It's balloons and bands and that sort of thing. For the rest of us, there's a little bit of a message of thank God my grandparents or parents did or I had the courage to do.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of these parades, and in some senses, the parades that are the most moving are the tiny ones in each borough. You know, everybody has three weekends of St. Patrick's Day parades, and the big ones on Fifth Avenue, this Columbus Day, Puerto Rican Day, those are wonderful. The smaller ones are where you shake hands with everybody on both sides of Staten Island or in Frog's Nash or Bay Ridge people, things like that.
Yeah, we obviously miss very much, and will somebody who actually had spent 20 of 23 years in your seat today, and that's, of course, Mayor Ed Koch.
I said before in the speech I gave that Koch is in heaven, and St. Patrick says, I drove the snakes out of Ireland, and he says, yeah, well, I drove the graffiti artists out of the subways.
A tougher job.
Yeah, I mean, Ed was bigger than life, but, you know, he built on what came before him. He left a legacy for others to build on. It's a much different city today. Dinkins for 4 years. Crime actually topped out and started to come down. He doesn't get credit for it, but that's true. Giuliani made this city a lot better in his 8 years. Hopefully my administration, not me, but the people there, the deputy mayors, the commissioners, everybody else have left a legacy. And I hope the mayor, as I said before, that comes afterwards does a better job, and there's no reason to think that he or she can't, because I'm going to live here, and I want to have safe streets and good schools and an economy and everything that the mayor is supposed to deliver, and pick up the garbage, too.
You started and you came just 9/11 had just occurred.
Yep.
Rudy did a great job, Giuliani did a great job, but you got to pick up the pieces.
Yeah, but in all fairness, he left something for us, and we're leaving something for the next guy. And when you're going to vote for the next mayor, don't think about their answers to what do you do with today's problems.
Right.
Because today's problems aren't going to be the problems they're going to have to solve. They're problems that we don't know about. So how do you pick? Do they have good values? Do you think they have courage to stand up when the press and special interests pressure them? Will they cave or will they say no? In my heart of hearts, I know that this is right, and I don't care if I get blasted in the press. And everybody says, oh, I will do that. Some do, some don't. So,
right.
All right, I better go to the parade.
I understand in 10 minutes you're off on the
off
parade.
On the parade.
Very, very best.
Thank you very much.
You will not have any excuse next year, because we want you here. And
well, there's another city. You could have three hosts.
I know. Well, yeah, but anyway.
I'm going to need a job. 290 days from now, I'm unemployed, and I work cheap. I work for $1 a year. So.
And you didn't. You missed out on in Rome. I mean, that could have.
I thought. You know? I said New World. It was there. I come with my own yarmulke, you know. I mean, it's perfect.
Yeah.
I speak a little bit of Spanish. They wanted, turns out they wanted somebody to speak Spanish.
And you know a little bit about banking and, some situation.
All of that sort of stuff. Well,
before you leave, and I know you have to leave, Sandy and the horror of what Hurricane Sandy brought to this area. Let me just ask you about the reality of rebuilding that entire area as many would want.
These people are going to want to live on the beach. Very few people, I think, will want to sell their houses and move away. There were actually a lot of houses, some 20,000, 15 houses, some 1,000, that were damaged by water. But in terms of losing houses, there were only about 600.
Yeah.
And there were 43 people that died. It was very tragic. But keep in mind, Katrina was 1,800 people, so we were very lucky in that sense.
Okay.
But having said that, there's still 43 families grieving, and our prayers go out to them. But their people will rebuild. They've been rebuilding. I was talking to somebody who was at Gracie Mansion about a month ago for dinner, and her family's had a house in Breezy Point since the 30s, 7 times they've been flooded out. Every time they rebuilt, and they're going to rebuild again. They want to live in Breezy Point. It's great. Guys, happy St. Patrick's Day.
I'm delighted. Mayor Mike Greenberg. Okay.
What a joy.
Friends, okay, thank you so, so much. Okay? And you'll be back, please. Okay. You're invited. Okay. Yeah. Go ahead, Donnie, do it. Yeah.
We were sitting on the wall upon a Sunday, just to watch the girls go by, thinking we'd be married to one day, when Kate went past her eye. Oh man, she was the makings of a fairy, and she made each boy us stare. There's not the girl in the whole wide world like the darling girl from Clare. And every man has got the finest girl you've ever seen, oh, Bambino. Every day there's one of them will say that you'll agree now, you'll see now. Each night they'd fight if the witch of them was right by the colour of her eyes and hair. There's not the girl in the whole wide world like the darling girl from Clare. I never said a single word about her, but I met the girl that day. I told her that I thought that we should marry and want the cheat to stay. She said that I should go and meet her father, and he met him then and there. And in less than an hour we were fighting for the door of the Darling Girl from Clare. And every man has got the finest girl he's ever seen, oh, Bambino. Every day there's one of them who said it's Ulrino, Ulcino. Each night they'd fight, and to which of them was right, by the colour of her eyes and hair. There's not a girl in the whole wide world like the Darling Girl from Clare. That kitten is a father by me deacon, and I tell him of the land I've tilled. I tell him of the cattle I had raised, and the house I mean to build. And when you see the Arabella pastures, and the fat dogs breeding there, all the hens and the chickens that can go to the dickens of the Darling Girl from Clare. And every man that's got the finest girl you've ever seen, oh, Domino. Every day there's one of them will say that you'll agree, no, you'll see, no. And late last night when the fire was bright, I asked her if she'd share all me joy and me sorrow while you're married in the morrow to the girl from the County Clare. All me joy and me sorrow while you're married in the morrow to the girl from the County Clare.
Up, Clare! Thank you. Thank you very much, Johnny. Okay, good luck to you. Now, wait a minute now. We need to... how do you get...
It's available on the popular sites, CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon.com, you name it, it's on there.
Terrific. All right, well, and lots of luck to you. Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
We have a very special guest who's just joined us. But is it possible just for an abbreviation of the Isle of Innisfree?
Come on.
Would that be possible... Just a little one. Would you mind? Isn't this great? Hi.
He does this, you know,
this
to
is entertain Joe Hines has joined us. And,
hello.
But
yeah, yeah. But, I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you write when you're in front of the stage. You go up and, you know, you put a couple of bucks with it and
some folks who say that I'm a dreamer, I no doubt there's truth in what they say. For sure a body is bound to be a dreamer when all the things he loved are far away. And precious things are dreams unto an exile. They take a mortal land across the sea, especially when it happens he's an exile from that dear lovely Isle of Innisfree. And when the moonlight peeps across the rooftop of this brave city, wondrous though it be, I scarcely hear its laughter or its beauty. I'm once again back home in Innisfree. I wonder o'er green hills and dreamy valleys, and find the peace no other land could know. I hear the birds make music fit for angels, and watch the rivers laughing as they go. But dreams don't last, or dreams are not forgotten, and soon I'm back to stern reality. And though they paint the footpaths there with gold dust, I still would choose my
Isle of
Innisfree.
Oh, Don, that was great. Thank you.
Donnie, thank you very much for being with us, really, and it's terrific, and good luck today, and of course, you are anywhere and everywhere. Probably the most.
In case they're listening in Ireland, I'll be touring Ireland in April.
You are touring Ireland in April. With Gabriel.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, fantastic! And you're not going to get stuck in Cork now just because you're home.
No.
I'm
going to be bouncing around. All right. Killarney and Dublin and Clare.
Terrific.
Yeah. Thanks very much.
Lots of luck to you, and I'm very happy. Okay. We were earlier today complimenting and grateful to the mayor, Mayor Mike Bloomberg. He has not missed a single solitary St. Patrick's Day.
12 for 12 is right.
And of course we had a mutual friend, Ed Koch.
Yes.
20 out of 23, and the other times he was, we missed him. But I tell you, you've got to be up there somewhere, too, unless you've, as a matter of fact, I think you've beaten all of them.
You and I get to go back when I was fire commissioner.
Absolutely.
But last night, the Friendly Sons of St. Patrick's, Ray Kelly mentioned the great Irishman, Ed Koch, and 1,500 people leaped to their feet. It was such
amazing,
a warm,
yeah.
warm experience.
Yep.
It was
Joe, nice to see you.
Good to see you, Joe.
And I know that you're got so much on your plate, and you're in the middle of a campaign. And
yep.
I'll tell you this. We got to all be especially proud of the work that you've done through a lot of years, not only your work in Kings County, but there are very few people that have been more steadfast in supporting Irish-related issues as they've come up one at a time than you have, Joe. And
thank
that's
you,
something that
yeah.
we can't ever forget, believe me.
Thank you so much.
I suppose also, and we take that for granted, really, we do, you know, what would we expect, you know, from
it's one of the virus the Irish have that we take for granted.
Yeah, that's very
yeah. true. But on an issue that nobody wanted to touch, and those who did slipped it into a sentence and then moved on, domestic violence and your work, first of all, your acknowledgement, your solutions has now been adopted right across the United States.
Always.
And even still, you take a lot of crap from people who say, it only affects so few people. Why would you bring it to the forefront? Pretty much like people talk about the famine in Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
It's gone. It's finished. It's not a sexy subject to bring up.
You know, Adrian and John, nothing could be further from the truth. It remains an endemic problem for the United States of America and indeed the rest of the world. I mean, I had the privilege of going to the Republic in 07 to lead a conference on domestic violence, and it was great to see that they recognize this terrible problem. But one thing is very, very positive. In 1990, when I had the privilege of becoming district attorney, no prosecutor in this country spent any time on domestic violence. Every prosecutor in this country has at least some resources spent on containing and doing away with, eliminating domestic violence to the best we can. We had the first Family Justice Center in the Northeast,
uh-huh.
which is a full-service center for victims of domestic violence with 30 co-located agencies on site giving every possible comfort to victims of domestic violence
right.
and their surviving children. There are 40 Family Justice Centers in the country now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are
wow.
going in the right
yeah.
direction.
Absolutely.
And we're not
going
to give up. You know, I run for re-election because I have a hell of a lot more to do, and one of them is to make damn sure that domestic violence becomes a top priority for every prosecutor in this country.
Right. Thank you for being with us all through the years, and actually all we're waiting for is, which is, again, a very strong point for the Irish, miss one year. And you don't get credit for the previous years. We have to start again. So it's not in your best interest to skip a year.
I'll be not skipping any years. Don't worry about that.
District Attorney.
Joe, the very, very best to you.
Thank
and
you,
yeah. I want to make sure that we use our own microphones here to be sure that we continue to remind people about the wonderful efforts not only that you've done in Kings County, but you've done on behalf of the Irish population in the city and everywhere.
And we're talking about Kings County, Brooklyn, New York, for those who are listening to us throughout the world, the fourth largest city in the world, and nobody has corrected that. They wouldn't do that while you were there anyway, and Marty Markowitz is on his way out the door.
That's
correct.
Well, okay, we just picked up about 70,000 new people. Brooklyn is hot today.
Oh, it's extremely hot.
Brooklyn in 1990 was the fifth most violent place in America per capita, with 775 murders. Last year we went under 150 murders, first time since 1960.
Wow.
And that's Ray Kelly, it's Mike Bloomberg, and it's the great work that my assistants do with the programs we have, and the community in Brooklyn.
Fabulous. Well, it is a hot place to be, to go.
Listen, good luck to you.
Thank
I know that if you hang around, you can get fed and watered. And
I've got a campaign to go.
I'm next
to a Latino club for an endorsement and then to an African-American event. So here I am.
Thanks, Joe. Okay. You're the very best.
By the way, can you pick out your endorsement on the way out the door?
Thank you so much.
Not that it's necessary.
Well, it is necessary.
Yeah.
Thanks, Joe.
Good luck.
Wonderful.
Okay. District Attorney of Brooklyn, of Kings County. And we have, we're going to take, I'm told that we should do a station identification. And for the metropolitan area, I would like to recognize that of the 43 years that we have this been on air, we've been on tons of countless radio stations. One that we're very proud of, and I think our engineer, Mark Bonyak, who has been with me for almost the 43 years, WVNJ is, which incidentally doesn't have to do with station identification anyway, WVNJ, 1160 on the AM dial, and we have two link stations, and throughout the world, we are broadcasting, simulcasting live. We're also... our programs, our interviews are archived, and so anytime you can get our bloopers. John, you know what bloopers
are. Well, I've made a couple of them.
I've noticed.
How about a little music when we are, and then we've got, of course, a very special guest, naturally, and the Speaker of the City of New York, Christine Quinn. But is there any chance?
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry, excuse me. I made a blooper.
Larry Quinn's daughter.
Oh, okay. All right, fine.
Okay. Where's the dad?
I jumped out of the car not to be late, so he's making his way up. But he was just joking, my father, that St. Patrick's Day is the only time an Irish guy in New York gets to go to five different breakfasts, doesn't get to eat anything Irish in any of them, and has to grab a bagel at the deli on the way to make sure he doesn't go hungry, which is true. We after this are heading to our another breakfast of the great Department of Sanitation,
oh
who we owe a big thank you to after Hurricane Sandy.
It was terrific. And this morning in Gracie Mason, I thought myself was a bit rude, particularly since Mike Bloomberg is the mayor, to have most of the people there referring to you as mayor. I think that's the height of bad manners, really. And I'm sure Larry would agree with me on that one.
Well, what I say is if someone's saying yes, far be it for me to say no. You know what I'm saying? So I'll let the mayor take that up.
I saw Christine. I saw you on Piers Morgan there the other night. A very nice interview.
Thank you.
I thought
you
were very natural. And responded very well to him, which I think he's a very good interviewer,
by
the way. Very piercing. But you were very natural in the way you were laughing, throw your head back, and so on and so forth. I mean that sincerely.
Thank you.
You were very natural. It wasn't put on at all. And it was a very good interview.
Well, if you were going to put on a laugh, it wouldn't be mine. So loud, it'll break the radio listeners' ears. So I tried to temper it there. But,
Speaker Christine Quinn, how do you feel, when there's hardly a person who does not refer to you as the presumed next mayor of the city of New York, the front, the lead candidate for. Is there a kind of a shaky side to that in the sense that, you know, the begrudgers, and God knows we have plenty of them.
You know, you know, just before I answer that, and I will, Adrian, I just want to share with all the listeners how grateful I know the present mayor, Mike Bloomberg, is to you and the help you've given him in the whole city, but particularly with in building his being able to build strong relationships in the Irish-American community
right.
and the immigrant community. And he's mentioned to me often how mm-hmm. critical you've been since day one for him in that. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knew how central you've been over the past 11 and a half years. You know, look, the mayor's race, although it's fun to kind of joke around with people, particularly at Irish events and whatnot, or events where I have a lot of support, but the mayor's race is a long way away. There's the primary, there could be the runoff, then there's the general election, and you don't win till you win. So it's great
right.
to be leading, but the only real poll that matters is the one on election day.
It Absolutely. Sounds like a cliche, all of us that have had some elected
yeah,
political
but you
experience,
know.
But
yeah.
the truth of the matter is there is only one poll.
Right.
But it is comforting when you look at the numbers and see where you are at this point. Better you're in this position than what some other candidates
right.
are dealing with.
The best thing is to be in this position but run like you're the underdog.
Well, that's very true.
And
right.
we have baseball caps that my somebody on my one of the volunteers gave a couple of us as gifts, and they say CQ on the front and the underdogs on the back.
Oh, okay.
And,
sure.
you know, that's
right.
how you have
yeah.
to run. Cause, and you know what? New Yorkers deserve candidates and mayors
yeah.
who are working and running 24-7 because
yeah.
they're working
yeah.
24-7.
Sure. Do you get the feeling, though, that because this is noticeable to the rest of us, that because you are the front runner by a mile, that the other candidates have this tendency to gang up on you. They don't even bother sparring with each other.
We've had a lot of mayoral forums already, and look, there's been a couple shots here or there, but the truth is people go back and forth, you know what I mean? But the other candidates back and forth amongst themselves as well. So I think there's been already, and it's only March, obviously, pretty robust debate and stuff. So I think it'll be kind of all, you know, everybody will
right.
have something to say here and there. And so far,
but
the race has been fun.
It comes with the territory.
Without a
and
doubt.
Again, as when you wake up every morning and look in the mirror, better you're in your position than others. And it is a long road. I like where you are now, and
Thank
I
you.
Hope that it continues.
Yeah.
If I can invite all your listeners and everyone here, too, on Monday at City Hall, we're going to have our Irish-American Heritage Month event. It starts at about 6 o'clock, and our Tom Manton Irishman of the Year is Liam Neeson.
I saw that. Wow.
And also, we are honoring the Department of Sanitation and one of their chiefs for all the work that they did
mm-hmm.
In response to Hurricane Sandy. And the thing about that is a lot of those folks lost their own homes.
Yeah.
Because, like, the Far Rockaway
yeah,
Sanitation
sure.
Garage, a lot of
right.
those guys and gals live in the area. But they were working
right.
around the clock, 40 days in a row without
yeah.
a day off, some of them,
yeah.
to make sure everything got taken care of. So if
Speaker,
folks can come,
let me ask you, that is on Monday night, but Adrian just handed me a note. Have you ever honored Adrian at your annual events?
That's
do
not
that.
What the note
Excuse
says.
Me.
No, because if
yeah.
not, it would be a good one to keep
After
in mind.
After 12 years...
Well,
with the 286,000 or whatever that figure is of city employees, right?
Yes.
You know, when you get, and I have been Mayor Bloomberg's Irish liaison, I thought that there was actually...
Do you get a dollar a year, too?
No. That's what my point is, and I would like to kind of bring it up to you because this has been a disastrous year. I mean, wouldn't have killed him. It's not like he's short of money. To come across with the $1 a year. Didn't get it.
I will follow up with him on that, Adrian.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
his dollar, he gets, you
no,
know.
I'm,
I think
I'm,
it costs us more to pay him a dollar than you know, than a dollar.
And the truth about it is, thank God we don't have carry any grievances with us, you know,
no.
and like that.
No,
like,
no.
But
we, you know,
like,
we don't suffer from the Irish Alzheimer's disease.
I just want to...
it's not...
As we go forward, I just want to mention now that as far as I know, $2 a year wouldn't break.
I wish I had some money in my pocket. I'd pull it right out. But
No, that's all right. Your credit is good with
me. Okay.
That's what I thought when I was, when I hooked up with Mayor Bloomberg. I said, hey, the guy is good for it, right?
Yeah.
And if his isn't good, I don't know where you're going with mine. Funny, speaking of just about IOUs, I was very lucky before Mayor Koch passed away, about a year and a half ago, he endorsed me for mayor. And the Times said to him, it's a little early. And I guess he was about 86 at that point, 87. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm 87. I should give the woman an IOU. At least, 46. My IOU, God willing, will be good by the time we're here next year.
Okay.
Well, good
luck. You know what I'm going to do next year? I shouldn't give myself up, but it's radio, so you won't be able to see it. We'll bring you one of those big blow-up checks they issue you for $2.
I could get rid of my complex, and again, as I say, the beauty of it is that Mayor Bloomberg is going. I want him to slide out without that dollar a year. It would really screw up me up at this stage of the game if he came in with the $12. I mean, how would I do then?
Well,
good luck. Have a great day. Enjoy the parade. We got a reasonably good day for it.
Yeah,
a little misty, but nice, yes.
And just on one serious note, I want to thank all the Irish New Yorkers and the Irish Americans who helped out after Hurricane Sandy. I know the Taoiseach's going to Breezy tomorrow. We had countless people from Ireland who came, who helped, and it made a big difference. We still have people who need help, but people have done great, so thank you.
But I also, let's shed some light on great Irish traits. When the days of action were, Sandy had hardly blown out to sea before the Irish government and the Irish consulate decided to make that call primarily to the Irish community. And one of the calls that they made as they were getting the volunteers was one that, it's a great Irish trait. People were saying, Christine Quinn will take care of transportation. Christine Quinn will do whatever. And that's probably one of the areas you've done so much for the Irish community.
Thank you.
Not the least of which is, establishing a new art center here, right?
Yeah, we're so excited about the Irish Art Center and the grand. It's just going to be a grand place for not just the Irish community, but for everyone in New York to learn about the importance of immigrants, which right now is so important, and to take lessons and to really keep culture alive. To me, it's exciting. It's happening. It's also exciting. It's happening on an urban renewal area in Hell's Kitchen, which says something just about kind of the history of urban life also.
And we also, of course, we are very proud of another one, which is in your district. And, of course, that's the Irish Repertory Theatre.
Yeah.
The
highly acclaimed. Highly acclaimed.
We are, we don't want you to go away, but if you slip out during the next session, we will understand that you have another breakfast to go to. I mean, I know.
But we'll come back.
Where are you going to have lunch?
Thank you all. Happy St. Patrick's.
Thanks a million.
Nice
okay.
To you.
Good to see you.
Okay, speaker. So we get a little, Jamie McShane, so long again. Good. And your daughter, and Monica. Where's Monica McShane there? Monica, yes, she's okay.
Can we get a little music here? Because we have some great talent here. My God, let's go.
Yeah, but don't say it like you thought of it. I mentioned that, 10 minutes ago. Marie Riley.
O'Reilly.
Marie Riley, violinist extraordinaire. So long, Monica. McShane. Good girl. All right. Monica is, what age is she, four? Three? Four? But, okay. Well, it doesn't make a difference.
Well, I see that, Marie, you're from Longford, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, if you can't be from Mayo, which does help with Mr. Flannelly, it's not bad being from Longford either. You got some good connections around this joint.
Absolutely. It's not that far away.
As a matter of fact, when Donnie Carroll was around waiting to get on there was nobody pushing it. The minute Marie Riley comes through the door, it's like, all right.
Well, let's go. Can we get Donnie and Marie doing some music
out.
Here?
Yeah.
Can we get
okay.
that started? How all right. Minute? Go ahead, Marie and Donnie.
Yeah.
What do we got?
I'm going to play a
That's Donnie, by the way.
Donnie. Okay, I'm sorry. Right. I'm sorry, sir.
A set piece called St. Patrick's Day, which I think is appropriate.
Well,
let's do it.
Okay, go for it. Daniel. Absolutely terrific. Your record, your CD, which you
released last year, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How's that going?
Exceptionally well.
Isn't
yeah.
that terrific?
Yes, yes.
Yeah, there's a lot. Explain the background, and there's a lot of Claire background
yes.
as well in the music and in your selection.
Yeah, the music actually is all from South Leitrim, County Longford, where my father was from, and
right.
that the anvil is a dedication to my father, who not only was an outstanding fiddle player, but he was also a blacksmith, so hence
right.
the title of the anvil.
Yeah.
And all the music on it is rare music, rarely heard.
Yeah.
And I say that it's a musical gem.
Wow.
You know, most of the music on it dates back to the early 1800s and from musicians and collectors of music
right.
from around the South Leitrim, Longford area.
Yeah. And also, of course, a lot of those tunes don't show up anywhere in sheet music. In a lot of them are
yeah.
just handed down from
generation to generation.
Yeah.
And in fact, the music that I'm playing is playing through 8 generations.
My God, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Will you do one more for us? But I do want to welcome our co-host John. We've been we're getting a bit of a reprieve here.
Yes.
You know, because we have Daniel Gasuski with us, and Daniel is, apart from being a terrific fella altogether, Daniel is special needs, but he is and has been just an absolutely very much a part of our programs and very much a part of our lives as
and
well.
And a very great
now,
joy.
Daniel,
indeed.
Okay, you're very welcome. Okay. Very good, and Daniel is taking notes.
Yeah, I'm a little, by the way, a little more responsive.
Yeah,
you know.
Mm. Okay.
Daniel's giving anyway. Go ahead.
Listen, I just before we get another tune from you, I would like to acknowledge, of course, our sponsors. We have mentioned Tourism Ireland. Very easy to remember. The website, if you want to know anything about the gathering, if you want to know anything indeed about tourism to Ireland, this is the Bible of tourism, ireland.com. We have already mentioned Quinnipiac University, Ireland's Great Hunger Museum. That's IGHM.org. A constant supporter of our programs, indeed, Mutual of America. Easy website as well, www.mutualofamerica. They also are tremendous supporters, and the chairman, president, and CEO of Mutual of America is Tom Moran. He's also a chairman of Concern Worldwide, and it's a fabulous, fabulous organization, one that takes care of third world countries, but we'll be hearing more about that a little bit later on in the program, as in fact we will have representatives from there. CIE Tours International. For those who drive, like some Yanks drive in Ireland, you don't have to. You can take a tour. You can take a coach tour around Ireland. And indeed, as you know, many people know, the greatest number in this, their 81st years. It took 80 years for CIE Tours to become the major coach tour operators, not just for Ireland, but for Ireland, the Scottish and British Irish tours. Way there. Blarney Woolen Mills, blarney.com. Largest, oldest Irish import-export store in the world. With the greatest selection of gifts. Not all of them Irish, but if you want a gift from Ireland, believe me, you won't do any better than Blarney Woolen Mills. Go to blarney.com. We have other sponsors, but if we don't get some music from Marie Riley and Johnny Carroll, we might, you know... We might have to.
I may have to jump in with another.
I know
show.
That's.
Anyway, so
that
let's
is
do
such
it.
A that's such a horrific call.
If anything will get people moving, that'll do it. Okay,
yeah,
Donnie, Marie.
Yeah.
No,
okay.
Thanks, Adrian. Thank you. I'm going to finish off with a couple of reels that are from my CD. The first one is called "The Cedars of Lebanon," and the second one is called "Michael Riley's Reel, a Reel That My Father Composed." And for all of the listeners out there, if you're interested in getting some of the music, you can log on to my website, marierileymusic.com.
And we won't mention, because it may sound like a conflict of interest, but you are you're very much a part of the Irish consulate in New York, too. But like I say, we have good manners around here. We don't want to mention anything that might be misinterpreted.
Well,
right?
100%.
That's okay. Right, Adrian. Thank you.
Okay, Marie Riley, go first.
Thank you.
fantastic. That's terrific. Thank you, Marie Riley and Johnny Carroll. And good, really, that's terrific. Thank you. Thank you very much for both of you. I want to introduce friends Ruth Riddick, who indeed is one of the organizers of Sober St. Patrick's Day, an amazing and a fantastic organization in year two. And Ruth, you can introduce indeed the very special guest of honor, because we were able to handle the other fellow who's here, George Heslin, who is the founder of the very, very successful Origin Theatre. He's also the master of ceremonies today for Sober St. Patrick's Day. Tell us about it.
Well, Adrian, I want to tell you, first of all, what an incredible pleasure it is for me to be here this morning. It's Sober St. Patrick's Day is really extending what I see you promoting on this day of days. I'm looking over here in studio at a great big poster board that says, "It's a great day for music, greetings, guests, laughs, and fun." And that's what Sober St. Patrick's Day is all about. It's extending St. Patrick's Day into a whole new environment where alcohol and getting paralytic doesn't have to be synonymous with celebrating the day and the best of Irish culture.
Can I just ask you, hi, how are you? So nice to see you.
And a pleasure to see you too, John.
I'm interested as to whether, is this spreading, because with so many parades around in different parts of the country today or tomorrow, and has been last week, I was out in Long Island, did one in West Hampton Beach, which was a rather significant, and I frankly did not see much, tell you the truth, in terms of drinking. I did not. But I was just kind of curious, is this something that's having a rippling effect? It certainly had an effect here in the city.
Well, Sober St. Patrick's Day is an initiative that's based in New York City. This year we have made connections, formal connections, with Belfast and Dublin in Ireland. Mm. So there's a transatlantic dimension to what we're doing here. But in New York City last year, we started Sober St. Patrick's Day to a sellout crowd. This year we're back at Regis up on the Upper East Side, and we sold out there too 10 days ago. Leading us to a situation where Sober St. Patrick's Day, this afternoon of music, greetings, guests, laughs and fun, is attracting such an interest that we had to develop the fabulous overflow party downstairs at Regis, happening at the same time this afternoon, live entertainment via video feed into the room downstairs. There'll be some mixing and mingling with some of the artists. Marie and Joni, who just played for us, will be there. This is an idea that's taking off in New York City. And thanks in part and in no small measure to the fabulous MC talents of our friend George Heslin here, who's joining us this morning.
Listen, if I just wanted to let you know that if Ruth gets a hold of that microphone today,
I'm out of a job.
Your job is severely threatened.
Indeed.
You know?
Ruth is one of the amazing organizers behind
she
the
is.
So last year, today has sold out 500 people, actually. And we have 3 hours of entertainment, some extraordinary dancers from around the world, world-class musicians. And last year's event was a bit of a surprise to us all. It was a four-hour party. It probably went on for about 6.5 hours. But it was an extraordinary celebration, like everything in its first year. But in terms of the last year, the planning that has gone into this is really, really amazing. We're also giving awards out this year.
Did you say it was at Regis? Did you mean Regis High School?
I do indeed.
My son went to Regis. That's why I caught it when you mentioned Regis.
Right.
Wonderful school, wonderful institution.
Well, our founder producer, William Spencer Riley, Bill Riley, is a Jesuit boy and went to Loyola. So it was a natural fit for him.
And the location is great also.
I went to a Jesuit school in Limerick.
Good. And
now we're a Jesuit. Pope.
Excuse me. And I went to a Jesuit school in Limerick, too. I went to Mungret.
That's where I went, Adrian. Same school.
You went to Well, don't say it was the same school. Munger was at least four, maybe five steps up from Crescent. And
well, yes. That's true, Adrian. That's true. I'm not going to argue with you today.
It was my contribution, John, as a star pupil to Munger College was when I left, they closed the place down altogether. Yeah, right. And it was...
did you have anything to do with that is really the question.
Yeah, well, I figured that, you know, when I left, they said, that's it.
I wanted the honoree or something at today's program.
Thank you for giving me the opportunity to introduce somebody for whom I have a tremendous amount of respect. Sober St. Patrick's Day is about music, greetings, guests, laughs and fun. But we're also paying attention to the sober piece in Sober St. Patrick's Day. And every year we get an opportunity to pay tribute to one of the pioneers, one of the really dedicated professionals who work with families and addiction and who work with people who are impacted by addiction in the family and who work with children in families that are impacted by addiction. We call this the Emerald Spirit Award. And this year, it's an incredible honor for me to be in the presence of our honoree. Okay. Jerry Moe works with the Betty Ford Center, okay. Works with children, particularly mm-hmm. children impacted by addiction. And he's internationally known as a writer and a practitioner. We're welcoming him to New York City for this St. Patrick's Day.
Well, awfully nice to meet you. What a nice background and remarkable accomplishment.
Jerry, you're more than welcome. And it's very significant that you are here and that you are here in New York for, you know, this the second annual event. Tell us, if you will, though, about the world-renowned Betty Ford Clinic and a little bit of the history.
Can I just interject just for a second? Just hold on. Sure. And that is to say that I remember so many parades from the time I was here with my parents watching it. And as the parade went up and got up to a little bit north in the 60s, 70s, 80s up there in Central Park, I mean, you would have literally tens of thousands, mostly of high school students, probably underage. But I think the passport to be able to hang around that crowd was to be drinking and drunken or close to drunk, mm-hmm. you know. So you talk about turning that around. That's really a pretty remarkable thing to get that notion of, hey, wait a second, no drinking around here, you know, on a day like St. Patrick's. I mean, that's no small accomplishment. Of course, the psyche and the culture was so much St. Patrick's drinking, drunk, wow, let's say, you know. So anyway,
and as we were saying earlier, in Ireland when we were younger, the pubs weren't even open in St. Patrick's.
Right.
They weren't.
Ireland for Paddy's Day, usually we would have a dinner, a family dinner.
Yeah. Right. And of course, the emphasis was that this was a holy day of obligation, and as such, a day that was not in any way associated, as you know, as George mentioned there, George Hudson, at all. You probably are getting introduced in New York in this Irish community that if you don't actually tear in and butt in, you could very well be sitting here for the next 20 minutes. Jerry, tell us, please, about the Betty Ford Clinic in particular.
Well, Betty Ford Center just celebrated its 30th anniversary, founded by Mrs. Ford and Leonard Firestone.
Mrs. Ford being, of course,
Betty Ford. Mm. And you talk about someone with courage and strength that was very open about her alcoholism and about her treatment and, you know, was sober up until her death.
Yeah. What, over the 30-year period, I'm only guessing that in the beginning it might have been one of the treatment centers that was kept very much under wraps in terms of, you know, we have, particularly the Irish community, the Irish American community, we have obviously some great reluctance to take issues that may, in fact, not have a great ring to it. And I'm being bordering on facetious here because on the Betty Ford Clinic, that for once, and for All gave international exposure to, you know, you have somebody like Bessie Ford and this clinic. Instant recognition as being very much the place.
Well, in people with alcoholism, it's a disease of silence and shame and stigma. And so for the First Lady of the United States to stand up and say, hey, I have this disease, I went and got help, it completely changed not only my life, but the life of my entire family, including President Ford.
Right.
And then the idea was, you know, I need to stand up and be vocal. I need to be a voice. That recovery works, treatment works, whole families can heal. And so Mrs. Ford, in many ways, was a guiding light that really helped so many people get help. And she was a wonderful role model.
You know, we hear about the Betty Ford. I was just curious, just staying on a national basis, is that because of her association with it and name? But where does the Betty Ford, you know, went to Betty Ford, you know, that's my... Is that the top place, I mean, in the country? I know that you're associated with it, so you would have, but a sort of a bias to it, but not that notwithstanding. Is the Ford Clinic unique in terms of kind of services that it provides?
I think if there's a uniqueness, and by the way, there's many incredibly wonderful treatment programs, a lot, which will be at Sober St. Patrick's Day today.
Yeah.
I think what sets the Betty Ford Center apart is that it truly treats the whole family.
Okay.
And so a mom comes in for prescription drug addiction.
Yeah.
I get the opportunity to work with the 8-year-old
okay.
who very often thinks, maybe I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
I don't understand this and feel upset about it. And so in treating the whole family, now, that seems to make the biggest difference of all. But I want to tell you something that's interesting. A lot of people say, I went to the Betty Ford Center, and they didn't.
Okay.
So,
sometimes
out in the media.
So that cloaks them with something
right.
more than what they've done.
Yes.
Betty Ford?
They call up and ask for help.
Yeah.
And go through an assessment process. There are times we'll get 3,000 to 5,000 calls a month
wow.
for people wanting to get
yeah,
help.
Wow.
And sometimes we'll send more people to other treatment centers than we can treat.
Yeah.
But it's a simple call.
Where's the funding on that? Where does the funding come?
Betty Ford Center is a not-for-profit.
Okay.
And so people think, because it has such a reputation, that it's one of the most expensive treatment centers in the world when it's really middle of the pack.
Okay.
And so sometimes insurance, but mostly self-pay.
Yeah, I would say, George Heslin, that you would agree that, Betty Ford Clinic for the treatment of alcohol and the families of those addicted would be... to all the other centers, what Sloan Kettering Memorial Hospital here in New York is to cancer centers. There is nobody particularly in either one of those institutions wants to have the monopoly. They simply, at this stage of the game, the more there are, the more convenient, the more accessible these centers are. It is. That's the goal, and I think that would be terrific.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. There's so many people that need help.
Yeah.
And so we need more and more places that can effectively provide treatment.
And are you guys international? Is there an international element to the program? In terms of, are you in
the international element is really that people from all over the world come for treatment there. You know, Mrs.
Right.
Ford had been asked many times, let's have a Betty Ford Center in New York or in London or in Paris. And Betty was really clear that, no, one Betty Ford Center. Because if you continue to expand, how do you maintain a quality?
Right.
And quality is at the core of our mission.
And how many patients do you treat at a time?
Up to 190 patients, but then all of their family and all of their children.
And they all come and stay there.
And they come and stay.
George, I would like also to thank you in particular, because you are the master of ceremonies today.
Yes.
Yeah, and musicians and entertainers who have been here consistently year after year after year, not here today because they're all gone over to your gig. Thanks ever so much. That's
we have
great.
A great lineup, Adrian. Fantastic.
You do, really.
A lot of international performers, a lot of good talent in town from Ireland today, and it's a platform for them as well, you know?
Absolutely.
Really great. Yeah.
What's going to happen, though, when it comes to next year? When it comes to, there's obviously as tremendous.
Next year we'll be taking over Central Park.
Yeah, well,
that's
me. Oh. I know.
Let's hope you get there. It may not be Central Park, but let's hope it keeps expanding.
Okay.
But congratulations.
And it's
great program. All the best.
Once I just on the way, we want to be very specific because William Spencer Riley did indeed tell us something we need to know. This is not an anti-drink. This is not something. This is not the holier than thou. This is not. This is positively not
it's very much a family event.
It's a family event. Okay.
Laughs and fun, Adrian, and I want to thank you especially for bringing up this subject this morning and talking about it with such seriousness. Alcohol, drunkenness is a part of St. Patrick's Day, whether we like it or not, and the time has come to not sweep it under the green carpet anymore, but actually address these issues for real. But in the meantime, let's have some music greetings, guests, laughs and fun.
That's absolutely okay.
Thank you for all you do for culture in New York, and yourself and Anya.
Well,
thank you.
And we just because we've got good manners, we won't give any kind of plug at all to the Two Origin Theatre. That would be tacky.
Or the First Irish Theatre Festival.
The First Irish Theatre Festival. No, we wouldn't do that around here.
Thank you.
Thank you
all. Thank you. Nice to see you. Same to you.